सूत उवाच स एवम् अनुभूयेदम् नारायणव्रणीमितम् विनिर्मितम् वैभवं योगमायाय तमेव शरणं ययौ.
Suta Goswami said, the Supreme Lord Narayan had arranged this opulent display of his bewildering potency. Markandeya Rishi, having experienced it, took shelter of the Lord.
Sri Markandeya Uvacha Prapannosmyanghari Moolam Te Prapannabhyadam Prapannabhayadam Hare Yanmayayapi Vibhudham Muhyanti Jnana Kashaya.
Sri Markandeya said, O Lord Hari, I take shelter of the soles of your lotus feet, which bestow fearlessness upon all who surrender to them. Even the great demigods are bewildered by your illusory energy, which appears to them in the guise of knowledge.
So, one of the great qualities of this pure devotees is they don't get offended by some treatment by Lord. I must have asked some benediction to see Lord's Maya. Why he has to give me some 7 disillusions of experience? He could have given small glimpse and left. He embraced me so much. He made me get exhausted, fatigued so, you know, thoroughly. We can't even imagine what it is to be being in the midst of, you know, pralaya waters. We can't even imagine. Just walking from here to ashram on a very rainy day, we get exhausted and frustrated. He was there for millions of years, right, in dissolution waters, right, tossed by all the waves, and we can't even imagine what he was going through alone. Now he says, Prapannosmi angri molamte, I surrender unto your lotus feet. Who gave me this experience? Right, Prapanna abhayadam harehe, you are bestower of fearlessness for everyone. Yen mayayapi vibhudha muhyanti. Vibhudha, even great souls like demigods also, they will be bewildered by your maya, right, which appears to them in the guise of knowledge. Jnana kashaya. So sometimes maya appears to be knowledge. Sometimes one may think, one may do something thinking that this is the best way to do, but that is done under influence of maya. Like that. So he was not upset by having this experience. And his devotion was not at all slackened by having this experience. Although they appear to be advancing in scientific knowledge, they become increasingly entangled in their false identification with material body. This is about materialistic people, conditioned souls. So even Shiva was also not upset that Mohini Murthy, you know, bewildered Shiva so much like that, embarrassed him. Suta Uvacha. तमेव निभृतात्मानं वृषेण दिवि पर्यतन् रुद्राण्या भगवान् रुद्रो ददर्श स्वगुणैर्व्रतः.
Sut Goswami said, Lord Rudra, travelling in the sky on his bull and accompanied by his consort Rudrani, as well as his personal associate, observed Markandeya in trance.
So Rudra, Rudrani, means Shiva and Parvati were going on the bull along with so many associates. They saw Markandeya Rishi absorbed in meditation on Krishna. He is as calm as the waters of... Oh, we didn't read the fourth verse. Goddess Uma, seeing the sage, addressed Lord Girisha. My Lord, just see this learned Brahmana, his body, mind and senses motionless in trance. He is as calm as the waters of the ocean when the wind has ceased and the fish remain still. See, when the water surface is very calm, you can see the depths. You can see how transparent it is and all the fish is seen and stones are seen. So therefore, my Lord, since you bestow perfection on the performers of austerities, please award this benedict. This says the perfection that is obviously due him. So Rudrani requested Rudra to give some benediction to Markandeya. So Shiva says, he doesn't want siddhis like anima, mahima, etc. Then Parvati says, then give him liberation. And Shiva says, he doesn't want that also. Then Parvati says, give him bhakti. Then Shiva says, he already has bhakti. Then Parvati says, let's go and have a discussion with him. At least let's go and talk to him. Because he says he already has bhakti, there is nothing more to attain. We should have association of such personality. That is the theme. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Naivechanta Shishakvapi Brahmarshir Mokshamapyuta Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Labdhavan Purushevaye.
Lord Shiva replied, Surely this saintly Brahmana does not desire any benediction, not even liberation itself, for he has attained pure devotional service unto the inexhaustible personality of Godhead.
He had one desire, to see Maya, that was already fulfilled. Right? He has no more desire. He just has bhakti. Right? So, naive chanti asishah kvapi, na eva ichchanti asishah kvapi. No desire can enter his heart. Means he is not desiring anything except devotional service, which he already has. So Markandeya Rishi was uninterested in any reward available in any planet within the universe. Nor does he want liberation. So when someone attains Krishna, there is nothing more to attain. Idam teva purnatha gopala balam. Sadamevanasya virastam kim anyaihi. What other benediction do I want if I have this Krishna? Athapi samvadishyamo bhavanyete na sadhuna. Ayam hi paramo labho ridam sadhu samagama.
Still, my dear Bhavani, let us talk with the saintly personality. After all, association with saintly devotee is man's greatest achievement.
Although I have nothing to offer to this personality, still I have something to get from this personality, his association. Right? Ayam hi paramo labho ridam sadhu samagama. So, paramolabha, the highest gain can be attained in the association of devotees. Sadhu samagamaha. Sadhu sangha. So, Shiva went there. So, Sut Goswami is saying, ityuktvatam upayeya bhagavan sasatim gatihi chatam gatihi ishana sarva vidyanam ishvara sarva dehinam.
Sut Goswami said, having spoken thus, Lord Shankara, the shelter of pure souls, master of all spiritual sciences, and controller of all embodied living beings, approached the sage.
So here three qualities of Lord Shiva are mentioned. One, satam gatihi. Satam gati means he is the shelter of pure souls. Why? Because he gives bhakti to pure souls. So Shiva is worshipped by so many demoniac people and he gives so many benedictions. But they are not the ultimate benedictions which Shiva wants to give. Shiva is not very happy giving those benedictions. Lord tells in Rudra Gita, Prabhupada writes in Rudra Gita, the real benediction that can be obtained from Shiva is pure devotional service to Lord Vasudeva. Yaha param brahma sasakshat triguna jiva samgita bhagavantam vasudevam same bhakta priyosimi. So if one is dedicated to devotional service of Krishna, he is so dear to Lord Rudra. We have discussed this. Elaborate commentary was also there. 28th verse of 24th chapter of 4th canto. Rudra Gita. No, that is 1st chapter. 1st or 2nd chapter, Sati episode. This is Rudra Gita. Yaha param brahmasa sakshat trigunat jiva samyata. So, yeah, these are the qualities of Shiva. So that such Shiva who has these qualities approached Markandeya Rishi. Tayor agamanam sakshad ishayor jagadatmanoh naveda ruddhadhi vrittir atmanam vishvamevacha bhagavam stadabhignaya girisho yogamayaya Avishattad guhakasham vayushchidram iveshvaraham.
Because Markandeya's material mind had stopped functioning, the sage failed to notice that Lord Shiva and his wife, the controllers of the universe, had personally come to see him. Markandeya was so absorbed in meditation that he was unaware of either himself or the external world.
So Markandeya was so absorbed in meditation on Krishna. He was unaware of himself, means he is devoid of the conception of I. He is unaware of external world, means he is devoid of conception of mine. He is free from the conceptions of I and mine. Aham Mameti was not existing in Markandeya Rishi. So, when a sage is in meditation, when some guest comes, and if he doesn't respond, sometimes the guest gets offended. But Shiva doesn't get offended. Right? He knows what he is doing, what he is engaged in. So what happened was, Shiva entered into the heart of Markandeya Rishi. Entered into the ether of the heart of Markandeya Rishi. Yesterday we were discussing, right? Within the heart there is some ether. Within that there is nada, om. That is heard by super soul. Right? From externally, when somebody makes some sound, super soul within that heart will remind this personality to respond to that sound. Right? So here Shiva entered within the ether of the heart of Markandeya Rishi and inspired him to wake up. Right? To open his eyes and give audience to Shiva. Bhagavan, okay, this we read.
Understanding the situation very well, the powerful Lord Shiva employed his mystic power to enter within the sky of Markandeya's heart, just as the wind passes through an opening.
How Shiva can do it? He can do it. We need not ask. Then Sri Markandeya saw Lord Shiva suddenly appear within his heart. Lord Shiva's golden hair resembled lightning, and he had 3 eyes, 10 arms, and tall body that shone like the rising sun. He wore a tiger skin, and he carried a trident, a bow, arrows, a sword and a shield, along with prayer beads, a damaru drum, a skull and an axe. Astonished, the sage came out of his trance and thought, who is this and where has he come from? So he just came out. So netre unmilya dadrishe saganam somaya gatam rudram trilokaika gurum nanama shashira munihi.
Eyes, the sage saw Lord Rudra, the spiritual master of the three worlds, together with Uma and Rudra's followers. Markandeya then offered his respectful obeisances by bowing his head.
So Markandeya Rishi saw Shiva and Parvati and offered obeisances. He had simply been absorbed in awareness of the Supreme Lord and has forgotten himself as conscious perceiver. So tasmai saparyam yadhadat Saganaya samo sahomaya Svagatasana padyargya Gandhasragdhupa deepakaihi.
Markandeya worshipped Lord Shiva along with Uma and Shiva's associates by offering them words of welcome, sitting places, water for washing their feet, scented drinking water, fragrant oils, flower garlands and aarti lamps.
So he brought all the worship, all the paraphernalia of worship. Arghya, padya, asana, swagata, all this we do, right? Gandha, srag, dhupa, deepa, all this. Ihatvatma anubhavena purnakamasyate vibho karavama kimishana yenedam nirvritam jagat.
Kande said, O mighty Lord, what can I possibly do for you who are fully satisfied by your own ecstasy? Indeed, by your mercy you satisfy this entire world.
So beautifully he is glorifying. Atmanubhavena means you are absorbed in your own ecstasy. Purna kamasya. All your desires are fulfilled. You have no other desire which is left unfulfilled because you are atmanubhavena, you are self-satisfied. And karavama kim, Ishana, oh my dear Lord Shiva, what can I do for you? Yenedam nirvritam jagat, because of you, entire world is getting satisfied. You are able to satisfy entire world. What can I do to satisfy you? This is his, from his side, Markandeya Rishi did not want anything from Shiva. He just wanted to offer something to him only, knowing very well that my offering is not very significant because he is already full. Right, it's not that he is maintaining himself by my offering. He is conscious of that. At the same time, he wants to render some service to Shiva only. He did not want to get anything from Shiva. So he is totally selfless. right? And on the other hand, Shiva, in response to that, what he says, I don't want anything from you. I want to offer you something. Benediction. Right? Please ask some benediction from us. Very beautiful, refined dealings of Vaishnavas can be learned from this episode. How Markandeya Rishi deals with Shiva in the entire discussion also, they glorify each other. They take pleasure in glorifying each other. And after hearing one's own glorification, Markandeya Rishi says, oh, please, I feel like continuing to hear from you the glories of devotees, not my own glories. Right? So there is a very beautiful appreciation of each other and attitude to serve each other without any selfish considerations. So we can learn a lot of Vaishnava lessons from this episode. Namah Shivaya Shantaya, Sattvaya Pramrudaya cha, Rajojusheta Ghoraya, Namastubhyam Tamojushe.
Again and again I offer my obeisances unto you, O all auspicious transcendental personality, as the Lord of goodness. You give pleasure in contact with the mode of passion. You appear most fearful, and you also associate with the mode of ignorance.
Sutta Goswami is continuing. Evam sutasya bhagavan adideva satam gatihi parituṣṭa prasannātmā prahasamstam abhāṣata.
Goswami said, Lord Shiva, the foremost demigod and the shelter of the saintly devotees, was satisfied by Markandeya's praise. Pleased, he smiled and addressed the sage.
Satam gatihi comes in 8th verse and 18th verse, both. Shiva is the shelter of pure souls. Satam gatihi. Now Shiva is responding. Varam vrinishvana kaman varade shavayam trayaha amogham darshanam yesham martyo yadvindate mritam.
Lord Shiva said, please ask me for some benediction, since among all givers of benediction, we three, Brahma, Vishnu and I, are the best. Seeing us never goes in vain, because simply by seeing us, a mortal achieves immortality.
So, Vaishnavanam yathashambhu. So, Shiva is a greatest devotee of Vishnu. Now he says that Brahma, Vishnu and I are the best. Right? So that doesn't mean he is putting himself on an equal level as Vishnu. But he is just acknowledging that being an expansion of Vishnu, I also want to offer you some benediction as a service to Vishnu's bhakta. Right? So please ask some benediction. Because you have seen me, my darshan should never go in vain. Right? Because I am a Vishnu bhakta, and I am an expansion of Vishnu, avatar of Vishnu, I want to fulfill you. I want to fulfill your desire. Right? I just want to serve you by giving you a benediction. Right? So this is, next verse is very nice. Why this kind of attitude Brahmaji, Shiva is showing? Why he wants to offer a benediction? Brahmana sadhava shanta nissanga bhuta vatsalah ekanta bhakta asmasu nirvairah samadarshinah saloka loka palastan vandantyarchanti upasate aham cha bhagavan brahma svayam cha haririshwarah.
The inhabitants and ruling demigods of all planets, along with the Lord Brahma, the Supreme Lord Hari and I, glorify, worship and assist those Brahmanas who are saintly, always peaceful, free of material attachment, compassionate to all living beings, purely devoted to us, devoid of hatred and endowed with equal vision.
So this is the reason why Shiva wants to offer benediction or respect Brahmanas, because Brahmanas have these qualities. 20th verse says, Brahmanah, sadhavah, shantah. Sadhava means saintly in behavior. You can see the word-to-word meaning. Shanta means they are peaceful, non-envious. Missanga, free from bad association. Ekanta bhakta, amashu. Amashu means they are ekanta bhakta, they are one-pointedly devoted to amashu, all of us. Who are they? Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, which he mentioned in the previous verse. Right? Ekanta bhakta asmashu, not amashu, asmashu. Nirvairaha samadarshinaha. Nirvaira, free from envy, no hate. Samadarshinaha. They see everyone equally. Because Brahmanas have these qualities, sa loka, loka palastan. All the inhabitants of the world, along with their rulers, loka, lokapala, what they do? Vandanti, archanti, upasate. Vandanti means they praise Brahmanas. Archanti, they worship the Brahmanas. Upasate, they assist the Brahmanas. Right? So, aham cha Bhagavan Brahma, myself, Bhagavan Vishnu, and Brahma there, Brahma, Lord Brahma. So, swayam cha Haririshwaraha. So, aham cha Bhagavan Brahma, swayam cha Haririshwaraha. Means myself and Bhagavan Brahma and Hari. All of us are dedicated to assisting, worshipping and praising the Brahmanas. That's why I want to give you some benediction. Please, let me serve you. That was his attitude. Nate mayachyute jecha hidaman vapichakshate natmanascha janasyapi tadyushmam vayamimahi.
These devotees do not differentiate between Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma and me, nor do they differentiate between themselves and other living beings. Therefore, because you are this kind of saintly devotee, we worship you.
Very beautiful quality of the lords and the devotees are mentioned. Who are the devotees here? Markandeya and other Brahmanas, right? What is their quality? They don't see difference between themselves and other living entities. We both are parts and parcels of Krishna, right? Potentially, we both are servants of Krishna. Right, he is also Sachidananda, I am also Sachidananda. Vidya Vinaya Sambhane Brahmane Gavahasthini Sunichaya Sapakacha Panditaha Samadarshinaha. Right, they see the spiritual nature of every living entity and respect them on those grounds. They don't see the conditioned nature of that living entity and then disrespect him. Okay, on the other hand, they will see the spiritual nature of the living entity and identify the oneness amongst all living entities. What is the difference between him and me? He is also soul, I am also soul. On that level they operate. On the other hand, there is oneness amongst the lords, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. If you remember in the Daksha Yajna episode, so Vishnu comes and tells Daksha, right, you are worshipping me, but you are offending Shiva. Please understand, my dear Daksha, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, all three are one. All of us are one. One in purpose. Whenever the oneness between Shiva and Brahma and Vishnu is mentioned, they are one in purpose. Shiva is Shambhu Tattva, Brahma is Jiva Tattva, Vishnu is Vishnu Tattva. Still, they are one in purpose. Right? They are one, they expanded. These three are like Gunavataras. Of course, Vishnu is not just Gunavatara, he is Leelavatara also. So, all three have taken care of, different aspects of this universe. One, creation, maintenance and destruction. Like that. So, three of them are coming together to orchestrate this functioning of this material universe. They are one in purpose. So they are Vishnu and Shiva and Brahma, they are representatives of the Lord. In that sense, they are one with the Lord. They are same as the Lord. So that kind of oneness here, Brahmaji, Shiva is emphasizing. It's not that he is equating himself with Vishnu. Right? So we need to understand this in that light. This unity exists among the three ruling deities of the material world. One should not, on the basis of modes of nature, find material duality within the ruling potency of the Supreme Lord. So, Lord's ruling potency is manifesting through these three mediums, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. And then, although the potency is manifested in three divisions as Brahma and Vishnu Shiva. Okay. 23rd. Nahyam mayani tirthani Nadeva ascetanojita తే పునంత్యురుకాలేన యూయం దర్శనమాత్రతై.
Mere bodies of water do not constitute holy places, nor are lifeless statues of the demigods actual worshipable deities, because external vision fails to appreciate the higher essence of holy rivers and the demigods. These purify only after a considerable time, but devotees like you purify immediately just by seeing.
Nahyam mayani tirthani. Here Shiva is speaking about two things, Tirtha and Deva. Tirtha means holy places. Just because there is some holy river there, it cannot be called holy place. Right? Just because they give some benedictions, they cannot be called demigods. Right? So demigods and holy places, they have their role to play. But te punanti urukalena, they can purify a person only after long time, prolonged time. Even Krishna says in this, in Kurukshetra, right? Esyatma buddhi krandapetri dhatuki. Before that also there are some verses of the same thing. And first canto also, same thing comes. Ganges also can purify after long time. Yat pada samshare sutta mana prashamanayaha. Krishna says, So, but te punanturkarena yuyam darshana matrataha. Just darshane pavitre kuri, etamaragun. So that's what he says here. Next, 24th verse. Brahmane bhyo namasyamo. Yesmadrupam trayimayam. బిభ్రత్యాత్మ సమాధానం తపస్వాధ్యాయ సంయమైహి.
బై మెడిటేటింగ్ అపాన్ ద సుప్రీమ్ సోల్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ ఆస్టెరిటీస్ ఎంగేజింగ్ ఇన్ వేదిక్ స్టడీ అండ్ ఫాలోయింగ్ రెగ్యులేటివ్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ద బ్రాహ్మణాస్ సస్టైన్ విదిన్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ ద త్రీ వేదాస్ విచ్ ఆర్ నాన్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ అండ్ మీ దేర్ఫోర్ ఐ ఆఫర్ మై ఒబిసెన్సెస్ అన్ టు ద బ్రాహ్మణాస్.
So he once again repeats the glory of Brahmanas. Next, 25th verse. Purport, one nice line is there. A pure devotee of the Supreme Lord is considered the most elevated of Brahmanas, since all spiritual endeavor culminates in loving service of God. So when these Brahmanas are glorified, it's not just that they are having Brahmanical qualities. A Vaishnava is superior. Okay, Vaishnava is superior to Brahmana. Vaishnava already has all the qualities of Brahmanas plus devotional service to Vishnu. Right. 25th. Shravanadarshanadvapi Mahapatakino Pivaha Sudhiran Antya Jaschapi Kimusambhashanadibhi.
When the worst sinners and social outcasts are purified just by hearing about or seeing personalities like you, imagine then how purified they become by directly speaking with you.
Sravana darshana dvapi. Just by hearing about you or seeing you, they will get purified. What to speak of? Speaking with you. Sambhashana adibhi. Direct sambhashan. So one needs to understand how glorious it is to stay in the association of devotees and to have a opportunity to regularly interact with them. Interaction with a Vaishnava is not very common, right? It's an extremely rare opportunity. So Suta Uvacha Iti Chandra Lalamasya Dharma Guhyo Pabrumhitam Vachomrutayanam Rishir Natrupyat Karnayo Piban.
Sut Goswami said, drinking with his ears Lord Shiva's nectarian words, full of the confidential essence of religion, Markandeya Rishi could not be satiated.
So, dharma guhyap brahmahitam. Here, dharma is referring to bhakti. Okay. So, he spoke about the essence of religion, that is bhakti. Shiva spoke. So, hearing these nectarian words, So Markandeya Rishi was very happy. Right? It's not that he was happy to hear his own glories, his own glorification, but he was happy that he is glorifying bhaktas and bhakti. Right? Same thing happens with Jhadu Thakur in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? So he says that I am happy that you glorified devotees, right? But I am not a devotee. Right? All this glorification doesn't apply to me. But all your glorification is valid. I am not the devotee, he says like that. Chakvartipada writes a nice commentary. 26th. Dharma here mentioned is pure bhakti mentioned in verse 20. So verse 20 we can see. That is Brahmana, Sadhava, Shanta, Nisanga. They are all devotional qualities, not just some ritualistic Brahmanical qualities. Next. In verse number 22 is about seeing equality amongst people. That is also bhakta quality. Right. Next, 27th verse. Nachiram mayaya vishnor bhramitah karshito brisham shivavak amritadhvasta kalesha punjatam abravit klesha punjastam.
Markandeya, having been forced by Lord Vishnu's illusory energy to wander about for a long time in the water of dissolution, had become extremely exhausted. But Lord Shiva's words of nectar vanquished his accumulated suffering. Thus he addressed Lord Shiva.
So he was so fatigued by experiencing seven dissolutions, seven pralayas. So now he had a nectar shower by hearing Shiva's statements. So yeah, hearing some nectarian words from a well-wisher is definitely very relaxing and comforting. Right? One can forget one's own physical fatigue by hearing some nectarian words also. Right? Of course, he may need physical rest also, but some comforting words are also very welcome in the midst of so much of fatigue. So Markandeya is responding. Aho Ishvara Leelayam Durvibhavya Sharirinam Yannamanti Stittavyani Stuvanti Jagadishvaraha.
Sri Markandeya said, it is indeed most difficult for embodied souls to understand the pastimes of the universal controllers. For such lords bow down to and offer praise to the very living beings they rule.
See this. See his consciousness. Aho Ishvara Leelayam. This is Ishvara Leela, the pastime of great lords like you. What is it? Durvibhavya Sharirinam Yan Namanti Ishitavyani. So Isha is one who controls. Ishitavyani means those who controlled by them. So what they do? Yan Namanti Ishitavyani. Ishwaras will offer obeisances to Ishitavyani. Controllers offer obeisances to those whom they are controlling. Right? Out of their humility. This is the nature of bona fide controllers. They are qualified controllers. Controller is not just one who controls. Controller is one who can respect the person whom he is controlling. Means master, leaders, ideal leaders, like that. So for such lords, bow down to and praise to the very living beings they rule. So conditioned souls means they try to lord over each other. But humble leaders means they respect everyone. They respect their subordinates, so-called subordinates. They see the good qualities of subordinates. They praise them, they glorify them, they appreciate them, encourage them. Like that. Such a bona fide lords have a wonderfully magnanimous mentality and thus sometimes bow down to the most qualified and saintly among their own subjects. Who is the best example of this kind of leader? Supreme Lord himself. Krishna himself. Right? He glorifies Brahmanas how many times? Right? 10th canto you see. Then Jai Vijay episode also you see. I will lop off my arm if it is hostile to you. Right? I take the foot dust of all Brahmanas and put it on my head. Who will refuse to? Lakshmi is serving me. Lakshmi is not leaving me because I am a servant of my devotees. Right? And it is, Prabhupada writes in the second canto that no master in this material world will allow similar amount of enjoyment or comfort or facilities for his subordinates. No CEO of a company will give the same kind of facilities to his pyun. But Supreme Lord, Krishna, the master of spiritual world, right, the master of entire cosmic manifestation, the master of spiritual world and material world, he gives equal amount of enjoyment to all his eternal associates, if not more amount of enjoyment for them and less amount of enjoyment for himself. Right? The person who is serving will enjoy more in that service than the person who is receiving that service. That's why Mahaprabhu descended. Right? So gopis and Srimati Radharani enjoy more in serving Krishna than Krishna who is receiving that service. So this is Jagadishwaraha. This is the quality of bona fide controllers. And now why such authorities praise their subordinates? Reason is given in 29th verse. Dharmam grahitum prayah pravaktarascha dehinam acharantanu modante kriyamanam stuvanticha.
Generally, it is to induce embodied souls to accept religious principles that the authorized teachers of religion exhibit ideal behavior while encouraging and praising the proper behavior of others.
It is to induce other people to accept religious principles. When it is done in this material world, of course we spoke about the spiritual world and how Krishna's dealings with his devotees. And when it is done, when such leaders are, you know, offering obeisances to or praising their subordinates, we can also understand here that it is to give a lesson to other people. It is to teach them dharma. Okay, see, I am respecting him. Why don't you respect him? That is the point. For example, your counselor calls him Prabhu. And your other batchmate will not call you Prabhu. They may call you name. Right? But when an authority calls you Prabhu, then he will get a lesson. Aray, we should learn some respect. Something like that. So, 30th verse. It's exemplary behavior. Seeing a exemplary leader, the subordinates and the followers will imbibe some good etiquette. Right? Imbibe some dharma, religious principles. That is one of the purposes of respecting a subordinate. Then 30th verse. You see the intelligent way of dealing. Here our Markandeya Rishi did not accept any glorifying words of Shiva towards himself. Yes, I am the bona fide recipient of all the glorificatory words that you have told. Alright? I am not the recipient of all these praises. It's actually your glory. To teach other people, you are glorifying me. Right? And it is your own quality, your own humility that you are glorifying me. Okay? I am not a fit candidate to receive all these glories. I don't have all these qualities. He is not saying anything about that. Right? He is just saying that it's your glory that you are praising others' good qualities. Correct. You want to glorify me, you want to declare the nature of your devotees. 30th verse. Naitavata bhagavatah samaya maya vrittibhi nadushyeta anubhavastair mainah kuhakam yatham.
This apparent humility is simply a show of mercy. Such behavior of the Supreme Lord and his personal associates, which the Lord effects by his own bewildering potency, does not spoil his power any more than a magician's powers are diminished by his exhibition of tricks.
A magician may exhibit so many tricks, so much magic, but that doesn't minimize his power to perform more magic. It's not that he is exhausted. He has 1,000 rupees, he gave 500 rupees to someone, then he lost. His vidya is always there to perform some magic. So you are humbling yourself by praising me, that doesn't minimize your position. Right? You are glorious. An insecure leader would hesitate, right? If I praise him, right? If I give him credit, right? My position may be minimized. People may not respect me. People may not acknowledge me that I have done all this, right? Why should I unnecessarily praise him? Why should I unnecessarily acknowledge him? Okay, let me be in the front. That is the nature of an insecure leader. A secure leader means he will profusely glorify all his followers. Right? So he doesn't feel any insecurity. Because it never minimizes his position. In fact, that humility in a person is an ornament. Pride and arrogance are not ornaments. They are like leper marks on the face. Right? Although the face is beautiful, if there is some leprosy mark, you know, the beauty is gone. It's like that. So humility doesn't minimize a leader's position. Next, 31 and 32. Srishtvedam manasa vishvam atmananu pravishyasa gunaihi kurvadbhir abhati karteva svapnadruk yatha tasmai namo bhagavate trigunaya gunatmane kevalaya dvitiyaya Guravaya Brahmamurtaye.
I offer my obeisances to that Supreme Personality of Godhead who has created this entire universe simply by his desire and then entered into it as the super soul. By making the modes of nature act, he seems to be the direct creator of this world, just as a dreamer seems to be acting within his dream. He is the owner and ultimate controller of the three modes of nature, yet he remains alone and pure, without any equal. He is the supreme spiritual master of all, the original personal form of the absolute truth.
So here finally, after appreciating the qualities of Lord Shiva, he is offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord, who is not the doer. Through the medium of modes, his energies, he is doing everything. Like that, Lord remains aloof. Highlighting that nature of the Lord, he offered obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Kimvrinenu param bruhman varam tadvara darshanat yaddarshanat purna kamah satyakamah puman bhavet.
O all-pervading Lord, since I have received the benediction of seeing you, what other benediction can I ask for? Simply by seeing you, a person fulfills all his desires and can achieve anything imaginable.
Beautiful verse. Kim vrinenu param bhuman. So bhuman means who all-pervading Lord. Shiva is also considered all-pervading. This bhuman word again came sometime back. Bhumne. In glorification of Naranayana Rishi, Bhumne came. Again bhuman. Varam tvad varadarshanad. Vara darshana means your darshan is a vara. Vara means benediction. Right? Vara darshana, your darshan itself is a great benediction. What other benediction I want? Yad darshanat purna kamaha. All one's desires will be fulfilled by your darshan. Shiva darshan. So satya kamaha. So he will be able to achieve anything desired. Puman bhavet. A person will become satya kama. Means all desires will be fulfilled by seeing Lord Shiva. And what is that ultimate desire? Bhakti. The actual benediction that is obtained by Seva Darshan or Shiva's mercy is Lord's Bhakti. Bhakti towards Vasudeva. right? Nothing else. That is very much proved in Rudra Gita. So all the demons, when they get some sanskritic desires, that is not the ultimate that Shiva can give. Ashta Siddhi Navanidhi Kedata, Asabarvin Janaki Matavi, the word that Hanuman Chalisa is there. Right? It's not the Ashta Siddhi Navanidhi are not the ultimate benedictions of Hanumanji. If you go in front of Hanumanji's altar and then ask for bhakti towards Lord Ram, he will jump and give you. Right? If you just ask for Ashtasiddhi, Navanidhi, then maybe he will give. But he's not very excited in giving that. Right? But Hanumanji gets excited by giving Rama Bhakti. Shiva is excited by giving Vasudeva Bhakti, not some other benedictions like that. 34th verse. Varam. Yeah, obeisance is the Supreme Personal of Godhead. This is not Shiva. 34. Varam ekam vrinethapi purnat kama abhivarshanat bhagavatyachyutam bhaktim tatpareshu tathatvayi.
I do request one benediction from you, who are full of all perfection and able to shower down the fulfillment of all desires. I ask to have unfailing devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and for His dedicated devotees, especially you.
So, earlier he said, all your desires are fulfilled and you are sustaining entire world. What service I can do for you? Still, if you want me to do some service, I will do. That's how he began. Now he is saying, by seeing your darshan, all my desires are fulfilled. I don't have any other desire, but still I have one desire. What is that? Bhagavati achalam bhaktim. Achalam bhaktim. Undeviated devotional service towards Bhagavan. I want that. Tat pareshu tathatvayi. Not only Supreme Lord, tat pareshu. His devotees also. Tathatvayi, like you. I want devotion towards Lord and I want devotion towards devotees like you. That is my benediction. Please, unfailing devotion. Here, our Markandeya exactly understood the position of Lord Shiva. He is Vaishnavana Methasambho. He did not see him as an independent Lord. See how sweet it becomes, the interaction between Shiva and another devotee, when Shiva is understood to be a Vaishnava. So, Shiva is glorified by so many other demons and other materialistic devotees of Lord Shiva. But they glorified him as an independent personality. And Shiva was not comfortable hearing it. Right? Some secretary of some king will come to a place, and if you start glorifying him as the king, not as a secretary, he would feel uncomfortable. If he's a faithful secretary. Right? So Shiva would feel uncomfortable if you disconnect him from Supreme Lord, Vishnu, and see him as a separate Lord and offer glorification to him. When you identify him as Vaishnava, he would be more happy and comfortable to receive that kind of treatment from another Vaishnava. Bhagavati achyutam bhaktim, then tat pareshu tathatvayi. So I want devotion towards Bhagavan and his devotees. Desire manifests itself within the mind and heart according to the subtle laws governing consciousness. Pure desire to engage the loving service of the Lord brings one to the most exalted platform of consciousness, and such a perfect understanding of life is available only by the special mercy of Lord's devotees. Consciousness guides devotees, guides desires, right? But if one has the blessings and mercy of pure devotees, then his consciousness will be pure and his desires also will be pure. Right? So basically one needs to work on consciousness. We cannot change the circumstances, but we can change our consciousness. That is the theme of Bhagavatam, if you see. So that consciousness can be fine-tuned, that consciousness can be made into Krishna consciousness by the mercy and blessings of devotees. He is seeking the mercy of a devotee. Please let me be Krishna consciousness by your mercy. Okay, let me respect devotees like you by your mercy. So that is the benediction he wanted. This is the ultimate benediction one can aspire for. 35. Sutta Goswami is concluding. Thus worshipped and glorified by the eloquent statements of, says Markandeya, Lord Shiva, encouraged by his consort, replied to him as follows. Kamo maharshe sarvoyam bhaktivams tvamadhokshaje akalpana yashah punyam ajaramarata tatham.
O great sage, because you are devoted to Lord Adhokshaja, all your desires will be fulfilled. Until the very end of this creation cycle, you will enjoy pious fame and freedom from old age and death.
Until the end of this creation cycle. Right? Akalpanatat. Akalpa antat. Up till the end of this day of Brahma, this creation. So he was there already for 6 manvantaras. Right? He will continue till all to the end of 14 manvantaras. Now also he is there. Right? So this is 7th manvantara only. He is there till 14th. Jnanam traikalikam brahman. Vijnanam cha viraktimat. Brahmavarchasvino bhuyat. Purnacharyat. Purnacharyatastume.
O Brahmana, may you have perfect knowledge of past, present and future, along with transcendental realization of the Supreme, enriched by renunciation. You have the brilliance of an ideal Brahmana, and thus may you achieve the post of spiritual master of the Puranas.
So finally, he gave 4 things to Markandeya. One is to live till the end of Brahmaji's day. Just long life is not sufficient. What will he do with long life? Unless he has a purpose in life and that life is glorious by devotion to Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu. So he knows past, present and future. Then he will have transcendental knowledge. He will be the guru of all Puranas. Right? Purana Acharya Astuti. You will become the Acharya of Puranas. These are the benedictions given by Shiva to Markandeya. Now Sutta Goswami is concluding. Having thus granted Markandeya Rishi benedictions, Lord Shiva went on his way, continuing to describe to Goddess Devi the accomplishment of the sages and the direct exhibition of Lord's illusory power that he had experienced. So, on his way back to Kailash or wherever he is going, also he is glorifying Markandeya. Sopyavapta Mahayoga Mahima Bhargavottama Vicharatyadhuna pyadham haravekantatam gata.
Markandeya Rishi, the best of the descendant of Bhrigu, is glorious because of his achievement of perfection in mystic yoga. Even today he travels about this world, fully absorbed in unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I have thus narrated to you the activities of the highly intelligent sage Markandeya, especially how he experienced the amazing power of Supreme Lord's illusory energy. Although this event was unique and unprecedented, some unintelligent persons compare it to the cycle of illusory material existence of the Supreme Lord has created for the conditioned souls, an endless cycle that has been continuing since time immemorial. So, as I shared somewhere in the middle, so this event that happened in Markandeya's life, that should not be considered a show or allegory. It actually happened in his case. So, last Falastuti. Evam etat
bhrugavarya varnitam rathangapane ranubhava bhavitam samsravayet samsrunuyat utavubhav tayornakama asaya samsrutirbhavet.
O best of the Bhrigus, this account concerning Markandeya Rishi conveys the transcendental potency of the Supreme Lord. Anyone who properly narrates or hears it will never again undergo material existence, which is based on the desire to perform fruitive activities.
Anyone who properly narrates it or hears it, no more material existence. Thank you all very much. Natharashimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Today I completed on time. 3 chapters. Questions? So tomorrow class is from 1 to 4. 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. after your fast break.
Eight.
Fourth question, 12.8, fourth question for 15 marks. Fourth question for 15 marks. Quote one verse also. Around 20 marks, not 15, 20 marks. Markandeya's prayers, 20 marks. Quote is there, that's why it made 20. 42, quote 42 and 47. You have time till 1 o'clock tomorrow. Then third question, 10 marks. No, not third question. Fourth question, 10 marks. Fifth question, 10 marks. Okay. What else? 9th chapter, 2nd question, 10 marks. Okay. 7th chapter, you know, Atra Sarga Visarga.